Thank you so much. I read some new poems. The candles lit. Wonderful piano music. Downstairs, some ladies enjoying. In the middle of the night, outside, the guitar is still playing. Long echoes on the flux of the terrestrial constellation above the poles, flock of doves. Flock of doves above the poles. I find myself from the night flock. On the River Lee. Beautiful days of September on the River Lee, the caravan of birds. The fish is looking for the bank. For its deep breath, the swan has left his place. Somewhere is a warmer country. When the moon rises, her shadows on the silent lips of rocks. We remember white nightshade, classic breakfast coffee in the midst of cigarette smoke, our voices, the Tesla band, like leaked from the drops. In every morning, we always come in progress. Black clouds, big black clouds, the last of the sun shining, broken sails to the cliff, we gathered around the fire and we were glad. And the morning star. In front of the house was a tree. Lots of flowers, I implored the sky, dew and ray. Unseen hands scattered the clouds, the breaking days ensuring, while splendor clinking to the rocks, green grass, fresh in there, the start of the second morning.
Simon Spitzer. Close enough. Raindrop. Drip, drip, drip. Howling wind, crackling like a radio dial. Drip, drip, drip. Raindrop. Obsession precedes compulsion, obsession precedes compulsion, obsession precedes compulsion, ink smudges. Impulsive words become repulsive, impulsive words become repulsive, daring me aroused and awake. Obsessions like abscesses, skin deep insecure indexes, tilt me off my axis while I try to retain my social balance. Old habits, compulsions and praxis, cometh to collect their taxes. Mean meandering meanings, moonlighting past midnight. You're not pleasing, not appealing. You're not pleasing, not appealing. Worthless. Trash. Obsessions constantly strive for functional perfection while passively policing my self-affection until I don't sympathize with my sunken eyes and my own goddamn reflection. Fragmented. Broken. Ugly. My state of mind reflects my physiological dereliction. Blocking the accession of self-succession, self-sabotage is intention to prevent self-actualization. Failure, another drop of life to be forgotten. Failure, inconsequential, is one atom in an entire galaxy. Failure. mind over matter, ingest mind-turning chemical matter. Clean up my mind's patter, pharmaceutical psychotherapy to self-program my neural circuitry. Shunning obsessions and compulsions with serotonin, dopamine, neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, finding calm in the repetition. Tune out the howling wind. Drip, drip, drip. Raindrop. Failure. Trash. Inconsequential howling. Lost in the static, I drift off to sleep. One consciousness, in a fleeting moment, in an infinitely large universe, it matters.
about a perfect day, and you can only write about a perfect day if you have plenty of imperfect days. This is called How Long. Tantalizing rocks, nipples caressed by the sea, blue and relaxing in her largesse, hips rocking, dancing with the sky, whispering her own tune. Blackberry wine explosions, rebirth, infinite footprints, narrow paths, going back to go forward. Time travel to our old selves, holding hands again on Ballycotton Headland. How long will we have each other?
Thanks, Catherine. Molly Toomey. Triggered. He wasn't the first guy to slip a hand up my skirt with these Fred Perry kicks, that grade one buzz cut. Me and my six different shades of blush. I suggested a stroll by the Lee, a cod and chips, but all he wanted was to go back to his. Ah, babe, he slurred, I didn't take you for a tease. That's when his fingers went up, slick and slimy as a mongrel's tongue. I sighed a curse, reached into my bag, pulled out my Glock 19, just to mess with him. He assumed it was fake, laughed as he fiddled with the trigger, and turned it towards his face. Dan Johnson.
I'm supposed to be number five.
A man from Cork City who now lives in Vermont told me to never explain poems before you read them, but I'm going to now, because these are all tweets or Instagram posts. I don't want you guys to think that I thought this stuff up. Scrolling. It's in nine parts. That seems long, this other one. Scrolling. One. Work views. I want to do a helicopter ride until somebody died on one of them, I believe, this year. Two. Crocodile receptionist. Crocodile receptionist. Crocodile receptionist. Three. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced the launch of a formal impeachment inquiry after months of expressing caution, bringing along a flood of Democrats. Four. Ponder this. All of our cider is bottled in Copperberg. You're breathing in a hit of real Swedish air. Five. At least 19 people have died and hundreds were injured after an earthquake hit Pakistani-controlled Kashmir. Six. No, Lindsay, it was a sign of strength that some people just don't understand. Seven. Here's a pic of a fictional tough guy with a quote they never said that you think relates to you. Share it so all your friends can roll their eyes at you again. Eight. Had a good meeting with Prime Minister Boris Johnson in New York today. However, there is still a very wide gap between the EU and the UK in terms of achieving what we need to achieve. Nine. If we don't get our shit together, there will never be a 420-2069. That's bad. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, this is your wake-up call.
Next up, Mary O'Connell.
This is called a breakthrough. Gummed up drain refuses to let water swirl away, ever widening pool at my back door. A length of wire helps to hoist the grate, lay it on the concrete trailing slime. The blancmange pool shivers at my feet. Reluctantly, I use a rubber glove, searching for the outflow I reach into the gunge, inhale a stink that makes me grit my teeth. My need to break the logjam, urgent as my wish to free my clogged up life. Fistfuls of worms and tangled weeds bring with them ooze that feels like tar. I gasp as a massive bulbous clump like Ridley's alien knocks me back. Waste caked solid over years, built up rancor, bile that's black. I haul the horror to the top. The glove, by now quite waterlogged, has helped me make a start at least. Carved by the stop, by the suck of gravity, a natural channel is laid bare, water purls along its trough. Freed up, sluiced out, released!
My blessed lamb. The devil was a snake. You were supposed to be afraid of snakes. He was Lucifer who was sent to hell, but you shouldn't feel sorry for him. God was in heaven. He was like a tame lion. Benevolent meant he could be kind to you, but you shouldn't torment him. The Holy Ghost wasn't a ghost. He was a dove. He came down when you were baptized, but you would never be able to remember. Holy Mary was the lady in the grotto. Immaculate meant she was like a swan. She could appear to you, but you had to be special to be chosen. Jesus was the lamb on the altar cloth. You had to say Agnus Dei when the bell rang. The Eucharist was put on your tongue and the lamb came into your soul. That part was real for me. God knows why.
Thanks, Jack. So next up is Mick Jones, all the way up from Kerry. Last time he was here was about 5 years ago, he tells us.
I'll introduce the poem, but I'll introduce myself very briefly, just because I was always a little bit weird. I won't go into the gory details, but as a teenager I was a little bit weird. As a 20-year-old I was slightly weirder. 15 years ago, I moved to Kerry. So this is called Mirror World. Do not cross the threshold. Do not look for me. Do not enter that mirror world. Do not trust what you see. Do not touch the falling walls or speak to the spinning clouds. Do not breathe those empty words or taste those hungry dreams. Do not plan a safe escape. Do not hear what you say. Do not enter my mirror world. Do not trust a single day. Do not search among the towers nor ask for mercy or ale. Do not cross the buckled bridge, nor turn the broken shadow wheel. Chant no darling mantras, dance only with your eyes. Do not enter your own mirror world. Do not take advice.
Next up is Jerry Murphy, God help us.
Where's the script?
This is a lesson in briefness, lads. When she said briefly, you remember that?
Yeah.
This is called release. About a 13.8 billion year old hair dog, said God.
Thanks, Jerry. Next up is Michelle DeVay.
When you're learning a language and Duolingo feeds you sentences like, they are walking, she is hungry, he is sad, I found myself thinking, why is he sad? What's he up to? What's going on? So this is called He Is Sad. I only eat in bed now. I barely sleep at night. There's ash in cans and ashtrays and bed sheets in a ball, and I am these four walls more than man. The same fly's been flying since three bags of green ago. I'm growing old and scrolling the menu again for dinner, for women, for self-help, for songs. I only eat in bed now, I barely sleep at night. I'm sad, I'm soft, and I could be caught by the hem of my cuff, and sticky red blood could cling to my footsteps and slow me down, and how will I run fast enough then? Go ahead. Unveil yourself at the front door and risk the rush, the countdown. You detonate, you're selfish, explosive and delicate. Hold me by the head, not to take the weight from neck but pace from thinking. Cradle me better, cradle me sinking, cradle me back to thinking nice things.
Noel King.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Not very many Irish artists make pictures in chalk on the pavement, probably because of the rain. But this is set in Northern Ireland. It's a father-daughter poem set in Northern Ireland. Pavement chalk. When I gave her the packet, excitement. When she tore it open, squeals. When the rain cleared, impatience. When the front path dried, bliss. When she got on her hands and knees, silence, like a true grown-up artist, her blonde hair falling onto the concrete. The loyalist soldier with a great gun protruding from his fly like a giant penis was not what I expected my child to draw. Luckily, the rain came back before her papist granny came to visit.
Thanks, Noel. Next up is Sue Blue.
I'm going to do the poem. One of the poems that I'm practicing for the slam, so I'm not going to look. And the spark jumped, gathering on the ground in all our shades of pink to brown. We are earthed and level, sitting humbled to this. We are earthed and level, sitting humble to the bare soul. We have come from all directions, the four corners of the world and more, connected by the power of language. Feelings transfer through sound, if even mystical, as we share prayer as poetry, no matter the tongue. Translations transfer ideas between the words. Translations transfer ideas between the words and within structures, the grammar that holds each and all of Babylon. Binds are building our temples, keeping the lines of time filled with the bricks of sound we call words. We are making humble prayers for the earth, transforming emotion, transcending understanding. We're taking down walls, opening minds, and spreading our wings in the winds of history. We are here and we are now. We are here and we are now. We are here and we are now together in one room, one space, one city, sharing the word, the script, bonding across the gaps of culture. To where we buzz with unlocked hearts. I've only learned this off today. To where we buzz with unlocked hearts, sitting all equal. Listening with equal ears, feeling with equal touch, connected to hear as one. Our souls wide open as love is glistening in the room, and we share the prayer of poetry, filling us with light. There was angels there that night, and the spark jumped. Only learned off today, literally just an hour ago.
Thank you, Sue. Josh Buckner.
The Lonely Library. The Lonely Library stands, filled with expansive wisdom. No one seems to notice. The sun shines into the aisles, illuminating the particle-covered pages, inviting a fragile creature to discover their untimely dusk mite's allergy, like a fly realizing that they have just landed on the flushed mouth of a Venus flytrap. The books sit, unrecognized, as the creatures buzz around with whirring technology, much like the flytrap light capturing the lives of these unaware beings. The library feels and knows the turmoil inside. It shudders and shivers at the despicable behavior of monsters inside of it that refuse the love only procured from wisdom passed down through the millennium. And now, does the library mean anything? Is it no more than a place to worship the short-term pleasures of our warring technology? Does the library still hold wisdom if the contents within are neglected? Is the idea of a library in a historical sense now just a mere fantasy created by humanity? I'm aware enough to see that the library has become nothing more than a fictional alley with a short-term feeling of productivity. And now the lonely library now rests and knows no true meaning has become of the wisdom held within.
Patricia Walsh.
Yeah.
It's called Infinite Good. No guilty constitution can save us now. Stench of death extended over noble cause. Soul transgressions going like body parts. Bought and sold downtown at a reduced rate. The earlier rush digested is a good call. Coming out of the watershed, the story goes. Sundry kisses stand to ceremony and crash. No question of trust anymore, a big girl now. Not respected afterwards once the deed is done. Not right to affection after the event. I will wait, but nowadays asleep. Passing by purpose with a wicked glint. Bypassing intelligence, going extremely coastal. Coming out the other side, hung to dry. Hypocrisies of help, offered run ragged. Expanding with heat, without a mumble, the aggrandized celebrate away like so. Once out of the equation, I can see for dust. Reduced to hearing the infinite stories, a calendar of reckoning, the past newly won. Circulating blood is a wanton telegram. A library of good, a delinquent propriety. Fathering a hurt brain and soul to boot. No connection with others, an academic tie. Nor any loves, aesthetic, aborted to the skin. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Mona Lynch.
a Navajo grandson. His Navajo name is Natani, which means leader, and he is called Liam Oak. The four colors of your sacred mountain bloom around us. Black night in your black hair, white dawn in the lilies, blue day in the lobelia, yellow dusk in the marigolds. Love will bring you to us, to our waiting garden, where fuchsia shelters morbricia and agapanthus. I will hold your four-year-old hand and walk you to where apples ripen. You will find your father's prints in the soil, his voice captured by the wind, waiting for your Dine song. Together, we will listen to the first sounds of dawn, birds bright and clear halting the silence. I will hold those moments in my heart. You will take to your desert home the taste of lush blackberries, meadow sweet cordial, child champagne. I will tell you of Satanta, Shano singing, as we trek through squelching moss while soft rains fall. When you return to your Navajo grandparents, they will sing softly to you their precious Natani.
Next up is Cathal Holden.
Night dreams, she is falling. She wakes up in a sweat. It is dark outside her window. She lights a cigarette. Night has trouble sleeping. River tosses in her bed. It flows into her ocean. It floods around her head. Behold the homeless ocean. In bed she never sleeps. Come picking mermaids' purses. Come walking on the beach. Kaleidoscope trained on the North Star. I navigate the waterways of my heart. These seas of mine, soul water bodies of motion and time. And time is the keeper of the peace that marks it. I am the sweeper of the streets that parts it, that flows from mountains to oceans, open and yawning. Endless love letters to evening from morning, yours only yours, forever and dawning. Night falls forever from the turn of his axle. Love orbits light with her hair all in spirals. She lets her steeple grow. Wildflowers in church towers, groundskeepers and skyscrapers, peacekeepers and lovemakers. Ease in her covers, love and her lovers. I am my heart and all else that is governed by the moon and her moorings. The turn of the world unfolding in mornings, yours and the yours, forever and dawning. The tide is always burning beneath the brackish sky. In the early of the morning or the turning of the night, for love is but a spiral of the antipodes of light. I dreamed you were the moon. I dreamed you were the tide. You woke me and you told me you could not sleep all night. I dreamed that I was dreaming. I wondered what it mean. I knew that I was dreaming. I woke inside the dream. Now daydreams she is dawning. The world the mountain over. He reaches for her window. The sun is coming closer. Daydreams she is dawning. She wakes weeping like a willow. The sun over the ocean has spilled onto her pillow. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Next up, Philip Spillane.
I'm sorry, I'm going to say the same poem as I did last week, but I added the bit on the end. Sorry. Maybe I should. I did add to it, and I want to see how you'll find it. And there's a title as well this time. Runaway Knock. Your talking touch tucks in, caresses, pushes my muscles uncertain points and special places down my back, holding my hair and nuzzling behind my ear. I tried to match, but I could only whisper poetry into your breast. Something about crossroads, and you can go wherever you want to go. Our holds, or schedule on your timetable. When you talked, you always sounded professional, emotional, yet insensitive. Then when the second time around, when your hands made conversation with my skin, I knew then it was much more than lust. I heard a part of you that was letting me go. Was our partnership seriously some form of runaway knock? You knocked on my bones. I answered and see my entrance empty, vulnerable, even if I knew someone was here, like my clad muscles aching for a talk and the poetry I left unfinished in your knocking heart. Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. Kieran McCarthy.
Takeaway. I do sympathize with those souls somber in sorrow and empathize with those who end in horror, but there are scapegoats caught up on tomorrow and take advice given them in error and pay the price when the price ain't the fairest, it happens twice. The second time is a lie. You try to be nice, they piss on you from the sky. You fed their children, now they're holding out on your rice, curry and chicken, finger licking. Come what may, I'll make it to the takeaway. Spend an hour's wages for 5 minutes of his time and save me the 2 hours that I gave extra to you. I know it's back on now, baby blue. All over is all over. You cut me a slice of pie or I'll put a chip on your shoulder. Draw a fifth leaf on your clover until some big boys bend over. Reach down past their toes and take the filter out of my dishwater and put my kids to sleep. It's 9:40 and I haven't sat down yet. Nor have foreheads been kissed, nor have days been relived or games replayed. Or questions asked, or bodies laughed over simple tasks. No balls rolled over blades of grass, no stories shared, or evidently much dinner prepared. Nothing more to build on there, no love left spare. Catch me on the couch, then count me out. Hard to listen, being stepped on, showing print marks in your eyes, eating with the fishes and sleeping with the flies. The spirit lives, but pride's hard to come by. I could forgive, then I could ask why. The ground is wet, but my mouth always dry. I'm prone to forget, and my mind always high. To keep respect, even when it's denied and second guessed. Before you cut ties, if I never knew, I'd never have to lie. Though we're often blue, you're seldom surprised. You call it new, we call it compromise.
Thanks, Kieran. Next up is Jamie Lawton.
No. Admission that I'm wrong is what would make it so. And that's a big decision, better take it slow. I might have to take the blame, but I'm not saying so. Because for all I know, there's many other ways to go. And it pays to take a second to appraise the situation. Hasty making of decisions in this social navigation is the making of mistakes. And a moment's hesitation gives me the patience I need to do exactly nothing. But what's the alternative? I can't trust my instincts. I've got too much wrong, and I'd just be pissing in wind trying to stick to the right course of action. The fact is, at least if I back up a fraction, I can manage to land on the right thing to do, but then I get my back up and can't follow through. So what's the solution? Trusting my gut? Practicing making a choice without thought? Or is it the opposite, trusting the process and not getting bogged down in why I should not?
Jamie, and our last speaker for tonight is Mo. With a director from the chair, I said I'd keep it brief. I just wrote these few words there when I was sitting down.
Thank you, Tom.
He was finally ejected from the Ovale Porter Group for reciting War and Peace in 4-line stanzas. Hot train without restrain. In the madhouse now, locked up forevermore. Without mysterious nuns, sliding his meals into the door.
Thanks very much, Mo. Thanks everybody for contributing to the open mic tonight, and congratulations to Olive Connolly for winning the 5 words. Olive has had to leave early, and Kevin has also gone, but I'd like to thank Kevin Griffin for his reading tonight. Yeah.